Hey guys, Ryan here, and we are back with another episode of the Lapdown Podcast. Thank you to the Alkali Project for the intro music for the podcast. Go check out their new album, Blood World, on Apple Music or wherever else you get your music from. Tonight on the podcast, we got JP over here returning after a small break. We've got Tino over on the other side of me, and then down below me we got Ben. So only four of us here tonight, but it'll be a fun time regardless. How's everybody doing tonight?
Good.
Pretty good.
Oh, and it looks like we're gonna have Tyler here in a few. He's on his way. He just overslept, I guess, or something. But yeah, I guess we'll get into our first topic of the day. Not a whole lot of racing this weekend, which is a little disappointing for me. On Friday night, it felt like we definitely could have had something for on-track racing action, but ultimately only Xfinity and Cup this past weekend to go over.
Well, they had the Wheeling Modifieds at the Richmond Raceway before the weekend.
Yeah, but where the Xfinity race started at like 1:30, even Saturday felt pretty empty of stuff.
Yeah, it was. Yes.
But, so I guess we'll start off with the Xfinity Series race at Richmond. Talking about that race, did you guys get a chance to see much of that one?
I did. I want to point out Bubba Pollard. I think he did a fantastic job in his first start there in the Xfinity Series. Hopefully he gets more of a break. He's someone that I really look forward to eventually having on my program.
All right. Yeah, so I mean, Bubba Pollard, I think, definitely had one of the most interesting weekends I think I've ever seen from a NASCAR driver. You know, your first career Xfinity Series start, you're the fastest car in all of practice. Then you go out there and absolutely bomb qualifying on the back row. And then you go out there and just have a nice, quiet top 10 day, ends up coming home in the sixth position. Tino, did you get a chance to see the Xfinity Series race?
I saw bits and pieces of it. Just watched a recap. I was very impressed by Bubba. He was awesome. Bubba Pollard. He ran great. Yeah.
Yep.
He ran amazing, and I think that JR Motorsports need to really sign him for next year if they plan on, or maybe one of the drivers plan on going up to the Cup Series of some sort or something like that.
Well,
maybe
yeah,
run a full season.
And that's going to be something to talk about in the near future with the whole Chevy program, because there's not a lot of open Chevy seats.
Exactly.
And then Ben, did you get a chance to see any of the Xfinity Series race?
No, I missed that one.
All right, so, but so that was Bubba Pollard's day. I think that his success there could definitely be opening the door for other.
thing I would like to say, if you had something in your throat, is Eric Almirola. Obviously, I'd like to see him do well. Anywhere he goes, he's a very nice guy. Met him several times, and I'd like to see Eric win a race this year and be successful over in the Xfinity Series. Nice to see Chandler Smith win one. You know, young driver who's just trying to get his name in the sport, you know, get his name down in history. And I think he's going to be somebody to look forward to in the next couple of years. Maybe getting up in the Cup Series. Maybe Toyota obviously has a little more cushion with their seats in the next couple of years, I believe.
Yeah, well, and you also factor in that Chandler Smith was the defending winner of the Spring Richmond race in the Xfinity Series back when he was driving for Colleague last year. He got the win here.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so he has success here. Just glad to see a young driver who wants it more than anybody else going out there and getting the win.
Although, I started to choke there a little bit, was when it comes to Bubba Pollard, does he potentially open up the door for other veteran short track racers to potentially get some of these part-time opportunities? Maybe or someone like a Ryan Seed Racing to help fill out some of their other cars that usually are having to be filled up by kind of Cup Series washouts that you haven't heard about in 10 years.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I hope so. Give some more opportunity out there. Also wanted to point out Jesse Love, man. Fantastic start of the season in the Xfinity Series over there. I mean, just having the ride of his life as a young driver. And yeah. I think he's 19 years old. So that's pretty cool.
He's loving it.
Oh, he's having the time of his life. He's right up. He's in a great seat. He's in a great car. RCR Motors. You really can't beat it. You really can't beat him. You got a good driver behind the wheel in an RCR car. You really can't beat him.
Yeah, the main reason why I pointed out the whole Bubba Pollard comparison to other veteran drivers is because 37 is really old to be starting a NASCAR career if your goal is to actually go up into Cup. Like how we were talking about, like Chandler Smith and whatnot going up there, and it's like it's a lot harder when you're starting out at 37. That's kind of right at the back end of your prime as a race car driver, it seems.
It's kind of true.
Between 37 and about 41 seems to be like the back end of a driver's prime almost always.
Yeah.
JP, were you trying to say something earlier?
Yeah, I was.
Okay.
Sorry, buddy.
I was just going to say, I agree with you, Tino, on the two car and Jesse Love. I think he has really impressed me. For those of you that don't know, I got some insight at Wichita Racing that I can't get into, but it's pretty cool to have that person on the inside and be able to talk to him whenever you want and see how the team's progressing through the year and stuff.
Yeah, for sure, man.
But, yeah, going back to the whole Chevy pipeline type thing, I think the oldest driver in the Cup Series that is full-time in a Chevy, I think the oldest one is either Elliott or Larson. I think they legitimately might be the two oldest. Kyle Busch, actually. Kyle Busch is in a Chevy now.
Yeah,
so.
For sure.
But aside from Kyle Busch, like, he is the only veteran in a Chevy that's been around for more than 6-7 seasons.
I did want to bring up some breaking news. I didn't know if y'all saw it or not. But NASCAR Xfinity Series driver, he's a part-time driver, Gray Golding, he's been arrested and indefinitely suspended from NASCAR.
All right. No, I had not heard that, so I guess we'll have to wait for further details to know what he was being arrested for and whatnot. Because a lot of the times it feels like time ends up adding clarity to these kinds of stories.
Says he was, it was a misdemeanor domestic violence charge.
Yep.
So, NASCAR decided to release him indefinitely.
Yep. But, a little bit of other news on kind of the brighter end. Well, I guess brighter end. Still not great news, actually, now that I think about it, but it wasn't a driver getting suspended. NASCAR did today announce the penalty for, what's his name? Joey Gase and the bumper throw. So they only opted to fine him about $5,000, and he's not getting any sort of points penalty for it.
Wow, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is a lot of money, but a whole lot less than they probably could have gone for. They probably could have upped it to 10, 15 grand even.
And took away 15 driver points.
Well, yeah, they could have taken away all his points, probably, but I don't even know if he's racing for points in Xfinity, which wouldn't make for much of a penalty if you're going to take away points from a guy who's not racing for points.
Yeah.
Okay, he is racing for points, but he's only been in three of the Xfinity races this year.
Another thing we can speak about is the Dash for Cash. You know, they always pick four drivers every year. They're running for a Dash for Cash in the Xfinity Series.
Was this past week selecting the four, or was this coming week selecting the four?
Yes. No, last week was selecting four, and I think the bonus is at Martinsville this week. So it says Richmond winner Chandler Smith, Eric Almirola, Jesse Levin, Parker Kligerman will race for the $100,000 Dash for Cash bonus at Martinsville.
Yeah, so essentially it's your top four drivers who are full-timers in Xfinity for the most part. Yeah,
so I think whoever finishes the best gets the money, right?
Yeah, whoever's best of those four, similar to how the Championship Four will work in November.
Yeah, good gracious. I wish you could use the Watermelon Man wall ride right now, don't you?
Yeah, but that move is not allowed anymore, so.
That's unfortunate.
But $100,000. Tire wear at Richmond, though, definitely is the storyline, and I think kind of even transitioning through to the Cup race, I think one topic I heard people talking about is whether or not it's time for Richmond to get repaved. And I don't think so, just because it's really the only track on the entire schedule that gives us that tire wear, tire strategy type of games.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, Ryan. I don't think it's time for Richmond to get repaid. I don't know what Ben and Tino feel like, but...
Well, let's hear from them. You know, your thoughts on potential of it being time for a Richmond repave?
It's definitely not time. You got to give it a few more years. They had some good racing. I mean, when the track dried up, they had good grip. I mean, I don't see what the problem is with the surface just yet, but I'm not in the car. I let the drivers do the talking. If I'm in the car and I'm in the throttle, not able to get the throttle, this and that, that's when I judge it, if I'm in the car. But I'm going to have to listen to some more driver insight on that to get a little more in tune.
Ben, any thoughts on that?
No, I really don't have much thoughts on it.
Okay, so here we go.
I think pretty much, you know, this Xfinity Series was just cut and dry.
There was one other thing I wanted to shout out from the Xfinity Series race. Driver Brennan Poole, on a tire strategy, was able to drive through the entire field at the end of the first stage and got all the way up to second place in that stage. Some fresh rubber, so.
Nice.
Just wanted to give a shout-out to him over there.
Brandon, he never gets any credit, so good job, Brandon, on that one, man, for real.
Yeah.
But transitioning into the Cup race, it was a wet, afternoon into evening there, and the race was delayed a whole 15 minutes as we had the rollout of the rain tires at the Richmond Raceway. So, hey, Tyler.
Hey.
But, so we had the rain tires brought out for, I believe, the first time since North Wilkesboro in the All-Star Open, I think they were used. It was the one time they were used.
I think they used the rain tires at Charlotte Roval.
Yeah,
first time they used the oval rain tires specifically.
Okay. Yeah,
but they've had rain tires for the road courses for years now.
Yeah, that was definitely the first time for oval. Yeah,
Martinsville for trucks as well. They tried them at a couple of years ago as well. I think it was 2022 Martinsville trucks.
Yeah,
but. This is kind of our first.
Last year, Martinsville. Last year.
Last year at Martinsville for the trucks. That they rolled out the rain tires and tried them out. So, what were your guys' thoughts on the on how the rain tires performed throughout the first 35 laps or so?
I I honestly thought it was good racing. That I don't want to see that every week. I hate it when weather plays a factor in the race, but if they have a way to get the race going, by means, they need to get the race going, you know? Like I said on TV, it probably would have been another hour to maybe even 3 hours.
I'll be right back.
To glide that whole race track and make it safe. In this way, they got 30, 35 laps in. Why the clock was still damp. So, good job to NASCAR. Good job to the drivers.
All right, Tino?
Yeah, I think they brought up the rain tires. Rain tires still gave the fans a good show, even though they weren't in the throttle fully, because obviously it would spin the car out. There wasn't much grip out there at that point. But I'm just happy that NASCAR just started it when they did, because they knew the rain was going to leave. They had pretty strong confidence in the rain getting out the area, so they can switch over to the regular tires at some point once the track dried a little bit. Didn't seem like any of the drivers had any problem with racing with the rain tires. I didn't really hear anything about it. I think the rain tires was a good thing for to start this race a little earlier. I'm happy about that.
All right, Ben. Any added thoughts there?
I think Ben said he'd be right back. Oh, maybe
no, that was Tyler who said he'd be right back.
I mean, all I know is how they handled the nasty main race. I never really paid attention to the other races. But they handled the main race pretty well with the rain tires.
Well, the cup race was the only one affected by rain.
Yeah, that's the only one I was able to listen to. So as far as I heard, they handled it well, minus I think they cut the laps short.
Hmm?
I think they cut laps short when they did the competition.
I don't know when the comp caution was originally scheduled for, but yeah, everything I saw, everything looked as per normal, and honestly, the fact that we were able to get the race started in the rain is a massive credit to NASCAR, and I said this a lot of the time when we were especially when I was at Dirt Bristol in 2022. Yeah, that race would never have would have been a Monday race if they had been on concrete. And same thing with the race the other night. It probably ends up being a Monday race or a very late Sunday night race without the rain tires. So
seems like the weather just follows these guys every year.
Yeah, I mean, like, literally record rainfall in Chicago last year. Forcing NASCAR to have to dance around the rain there, then flooding in L.A. when we went to the Coliseum this year.
Oh, good gracious.
Yep, but
let's just hope and pray that the weather stays away for the rest of the year and we have some good, clean, nice racing the rest of the year. How about that, well, guys?
We're getting ready for Martinsville this week, another track where we have the rain tires approved for. Oh, Tyler, you back?
It's scheduled for rain and light rain this Friday and Saturday.
All right. Any thoughts on how the rain tires performed from you there, Tyler?
I honestly didn't see any difference between the racing, honestly.
All right.
I thought the racing was... Honestly, I thought the racing was
good thing if you don't notice the difference, right?
I mean, the track dried out
normal.
The track did dry out really quick.
Yeah, that it did. And then the only thing was that they were having to dry pit road for the first, I think it was the first two or three yellows, they were having to spend a lot of time basically drying pit road while they were pacing under yellow.
Yeah.
And then there was the uncompetitive pit stops for, I think it was at the end of stage one.
I absolutely hated that.
Yeah, I just wish that if they were going to do uncompetitive pit stops, that they would have just not paced for, like, 10 laps to try and dry the pit road just to do uncompetitive pit stops anyway. Like, if you're going to do the uncompetitive pit stops due to the pit road being wet, then just open them right away.
Yeah.
Like, I don't mind the uncompetitive pit stops if it's for safety reasons.
Oh, excuse me.
Sorry. You go and just open the pits right away, but the fact that they waited, were drying it.
Guys.
My personal opinion, I'm actually going to kind of add something, right?
Yep.
I actually think they should have ran the rain tires a lot longer than they did.
I mean, it was up to the teams after the first comp caution. I think it was up to the teams whether or not they wanted to run the rain tires.
Why I say that? Is because it would put rubber in the track, kept the kart track dry, and actually would have created tire wear and more strategy and better racing.
Well, there was plenty of tire wear. That was, trust me, lack of tire wear was not the problem tonight. I mean, yeah, we weren't blowing out tires like we were at Bristol a couple weeks back.
Yeah.
But, as I said, there was definitely plenty of tire wear and plenty of difference in speed across the run. I mean, look at the fact that Larson, with the one pit stop strategy, ended up losing out on time to the guys who came and made two full stops for tires in that second stage. He ended up losing out, I think, like three or four spots over the course of the run, and then obviously the next point of conversation happened, which was Kyle Busch, or more so NASCAR, deciding that, yep, that's enough. That's enough of that green flag racing stuff. We don't want to see cars going fast. The Phantom Yellow strikes again. So, yeah. I'm sure a couple of you guys have some thoughts on that one. You want to start us off again, JP?
The
Phantom Caution?
Yeah, that caution should never happen. You know, I know Kyle Busch was struggling, but and I had him for fantasy this past week. No fun intended for Kyle Busch to be on my fantasy team again for a while. Didn't do anything this past weekend. He kind of struggled. So, I mean, with that called throwing a phantom caution, as you call it, Ryan. Very, very disrespectful to us fans.
Alright, Tino?
Go on to the next guy. I'm trying to, sorry about that.
No worries. Tyler?
Oh, that was a bullshit caution. That was absolutely bullshit.
Okay.
Why I say that is because she hit the wall and got out of the way without even causing an incident. There was no need for a caution.
Yeah, that's it. And then Ben, any thoughts?
Maybe a few laps down the road if he was leaking fuel, because he did hit the wall hard. But yeah. I don't think he was leaking fuel at all.
Yeah, and I mean there was no evidence of anything on the track, because that's something I'll get to when I get my turn. But Ben, you got any thoughts on the Phantom Yellow?
No, unfortunately, I didn't really see much of this race.
I can respond to him. I'm sorry, I missed out on the last one. I think they shouldn't have called the caution just because he just barely scraped the wall and just bounced off the wall and came down. He could have easily just got down at the bottom and pitted if he had an issue.
Yeah,
but he was out of the way. He's a veteran driver, so.
And that kind of goes back to the last Phantom Yellow that they threw, being the one for Haley Deegan. The excuse I heard back then at Phoenix was that they were worried that the reason that she got into the fence was fluid on the track. I don't see any reason, any way that they could have argued that same point at Richmond, though, for the Kyle Busch crash.
Nope.
And even for the Haley Deegan one, I wasn't buying it back then either.
No.
But, Yeah, so ultimately that ended up breaking up that middle stage, which was, what, 140 laps? It was supposed to be the second stage?
Yeah, it fucked over two really fat eyes with strategies.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I'm glad it didn't strike, like, right in the middle of the fuel cycle, because that, well, one, that seems to be the time where NASCAR doesn't like to throw the cautions, like, anyone remember Chris Buescher a couple years ago, where he went and was staying out while there was a tire in the grass, and NASCAR just refused to throw the caution?
Yeah.
You remember that one from, like, what was that, 2022, I think? Or 2021?
Sometimes they'll throw it, sometimes they won't. It's, like, not, like, very...
Yeah, consistently inconsistent. Yeah, consistent. NASCAR's specialty. But, yeah, so comparing it back to some of the other Phantom Yellows, though, I mean, I can't see the same reasoning. And even then, I mean, Kyle Busch didn't even have a long pit stop after the contact with the outside wall. It wasn't like, oh, they lost a lap trying to fix the damage that they had. He lost, like, 3-4 spots, I think, total from that from the crash. And the caution obviously helping him avoid losing some spots.
Mm-hmm.
So,
can I say something real quick? Yeah. Ryan Pearl all him. It was, oh, it's too long of a run. You need to throw a caution. Need more excitement.
Yeah, and ultimately, I think they got rid of the main talking point of the race for the remainder of it, because the whole talking point and the whole, like, strategy of Richmond is the, the strategy battle, the two stop versus the three, or the one stop versus two stop strategy in the stages. And ultimately, after that, after the drivers saw how willing they were to throw a caution at the smallest little thing, none of the drivers were willing to try and do the same strategy again, where they would go and stay out and do the one stopper. Yeah. I think the only driver who tried the one stopper in stage three was Christopher Bell, I think, was the only one. And obviously, he got derailed because of because I picked him for the week. Because obviously, we know I can't have a good pick ever. So, yeah. And then kind of the strategy for the rest of the race was kind of very cut and dry. It was just all about who could get in on and off pit road the cleanest, who could carry the most amount of speed in and out the pits, and who got lucky enough with the, what kind of traffic they came out of pit road into.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had the late caution between Larson and Bubba that set up that final restart. Yeah, I know we. I know a couple of us talked before we went on the air about the caution, but Tyler, you want to start us off on talking about Bubba Wallace versus Kyle Larson?
Oh, I want to.
All right.
Bubba Wallace is a whining ass. He didn't get what he wanted, and that caused a caution. Now, I actually don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about the restart.
Well, we'll get to that. But, Tino, you want to go ahead and talk about the Wallace-Larson crash? Because I know you and I talked a bit before the...
Bubba lost talent. That's all I can really say about that.
Yeah, so what happened, I think Bubba Wallace shouldn't have... Well, you know, Bubba Wallace had a really good day. I'm going to give him credit where it's due. He had a really, really great day all day. But, it just takes one mistake to really ruin your day anywhere. And Bubba Wallace made a mistake. He came up and he went behind the five car, and the five car was loose. I guess got in the gas a little too hard and got loose coming out the corner. And Bubba Wallace tried to put his nose behind the five, and he spun the five. In my opinion, he could have just stayed below the five and would have been okay. Everything would have been fine, but I think he just – I don't know what his deal was, why he put his nose right where it was, but I've seen other people do it, but I don't know. That's just right. Weird.
JP, you want to go ahead and talk about that one?
Oh, yeah, do I ever.
All right.
So The way I see it, it's I agree with King O'Gale about Bubba was having a good game, but it was, I'm sorry, Bubba, but it was inexcusable for you to get into Kyle Lawson because all you wanted was a Carson. I'm sorry. Now NASCAR, you know, didn't see anything wrong, obviously, this week with them, but I'm sure the next topic we bring up, we start from that Carson, it's what I'm really fired up about.
Yeah.
Oh, I have so many words about that restart.
Yeah, but I feel like I'm going to spark a bit of conversation here in just a moment, though, when I go and give my thoughts on it, because I got two main points, and I feel like I'm going to be probably in the minority here, but one, I don't necessarily think Bubba necessarily even did too much wrong, and I've seen that exact same crash happen between a Toyota and a Hendrick car just at a different track about 4 years ago. When Kyle was trying to tuck in line behind Chase Elliott in the second race after the lockdown at Darlington. Tried to tuck in line. And in particular, in this instance, with Bubba and Larson, the two had battled like six or seven times throughout the night, side by side, and I think Bubba was just looking to get in behind him to, one, angle himself for the corner and end the side-by-side battle, potentially set himself up for a bump and run or some other method of passing, but the side-by-side battle hadn't gone his way all night long, so continuing to try the same strategy was just not going to work, so I don't blame him for trying to get in behind Kyle Larson and getting in behind him. The contact happened right at the start-finish line, which is a very odd spot to be lifting off the gas, and that's why I believe that Kyle Larson had to have been loose, because, again, lifting off at the start-finish line is really early to be lifting for the corner. So,
I agree with that, but I think that he was just in the gas too hard, trying to get past him.
Yeah, I don't know what necessarily caused Larson to get loose, and I'm not saying that the wreck is 100% Larson's fault either, so don't get me mistaken on that one, but
I don't think Bubba did anything
wrong just trying to get in behind him, especially, again, that side-by-side battle. They've been doing it pretty much since the middle of Stage 2, and the side-by-side battle hadn't gone Bubba's way all night. No sense in trying it for a fourth time just to watch it not work.
But here's the good thing, no matter what everybody's opinion is, after the race, they talked about it. He pretty much took responsibility for it, Bubba Wallace, and he said, hey, whatever's coming my way, I accept it. And I don't think that Kyle Larson said, hey, man, it's all good, you know, because Kyle Larson finished well. It didn't bother his race. It really bothered Bubba Wallace the worst.
Race got ruined due to the pit stop right after, because whatever happened, his pit crew had a bad stop.
Everybody has, like, their own, like, theories.
But, yeah, I will say I like the fact that both drivers seem to handle it a lot more professionally than the way that either driver handled it when it was Kyle Busch versus Chase Elliott at Darlington back in 2020.
Yeah, that was crazy. That was bad.
You had Chase Elliott going out there to flip off Kyle Busch, and you had Kyle Busch not exactly handling it in the most professional way.
You're forgetting another one. 2022 Kyle Busch versus, or not Kyle Busch, Kyle Larson versus Bubba in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah, when he turned him in.
Yeah, but that one was just a straight-up wreck. I mean, that was, I was gonna say, there was nothing accidental or incidental about that one, though.
Oh, no, there wasn't, but it's still...
But my point was I was trying to compare it a very similar wreck.
But,
Because there's very little, if any, similarity between what happened in Vegas between these two and what happened at Richmond. And I don't believe that that was retaliation by Bubba. One, because I don't think he's the one that owes Larson payback at this point. And two, I don't think it was intentional by Bubba to even try. I don't even think he was trying to bring out a caution either.
Yeah,
at that point, I mean, Toyota was already leading the race, probably going to win the race with a runaway. And Bubba didn't have a good enough car to win the race from sixth place on a restart if he was trying to bring out a caution. So, that's where the whole, there's not really a motive for him to be trying to
caution. They pit after that.
Yeah.
So, but their crew is obviously, his crew is not good enough to get him up there.
Yeah, his crew hasn't been gaining him spots either. So, and I'm sure if Will from the Alkali Project was here, he would say the same thing, that
that crew
is not good enough to win a race off pit road. But the race off pit road did happen and was won by Denny Hamlin and the 11 crew. And now we will get to the restart that I know everybody has been waiting to talk about. We come down to the restart, and Tyler, you want to go ahead and jump the start?
Touche, good pun. Oh, Denny Hamlin, Denny Hamlin 100% jumped that start and screwed Martin Truex Jr. You can see it on the post, you can see it on Truex's onboard, you can see it on the replay. It was clear, but NASCAR didn't want to reveal it, because I think Denny Hamlin's starting to become NASCAR's golden villain.
Am I forgetting how Denny Hamlin got penalized at Phoenix last year for dumping Chastain after bragging about it post-race? Then you had him getting disqualified from Pocono for the small amount of tape issue. I would not say that I think that... Hamlin is the golden boy.
I'm going to argue it till the last breath that he jumped that start.
Restart. Oh yeah, I'm not saying that he didn't jump the start. I'm just saying NASCAR is not giving him favoritism at this point.
I could say that I believe that Denny Hamlin did jump the restart, but if you watch the video, it obviously he jumped the restart. But MTJ kind of lets off the gas a little bit right before that, you know, they throw the green, and he backs off a good bit. So that's not really, you know, obviously it didn't catch their eye as easy because you saw the 19 drop back a little bit. But I mean, I hate to see it for MTJ because he led so many laps. I mean, that's crazy.
Did JP fall asleep again?
No, he's here.
Let Tyler finish. I apologize, Tyler.
Well, you better keep those eyes open over there.
So, but the fact is, like, the restart, I still think it's like either way, that whole caution was like, restart put a bad taste in my mouth for that whole entire race.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, then Martin Truex Jr. getting all pissed off at Kyle Larson and everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I understand him being a tad aggressive with Hamlin, but Larson did nothing wrong in that situation to cause any of that.
Yeah, Kyle Larson deserved to put him in the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You talking about MTJ?
Yeah.
Well, MTJ was roughing him up.
Yeah. Kyle Larson deserved to put MTJ in the wall at the end of the race.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't hear what you were saying. I thought you said he didn't deserve to. I was like, oh, I think he deserved it. Because it looked like Larson was being kind of clean. Mostly clean. The whole time.
Oh, yeah, it was. Larson was clean, and like, you hit me, I'm going to hit your ass back.
I think MTJ was just a little frustrated with his own teammate.
Yeah, well, and then that goes to even in Denny Hamlin's podcast, Actions Detrimental, earlier this week, he flat out admitted that he... jumped the start. Because he even said that he wasn't looking at where the box was. He was looking over at the 19 to make sure that the 19 wasn't trying to hang back or trying to get a jump start on him. But then he said that he went and he knew he was early.
And what is NASCAR going to do? Nothing, because that.
Well, we'll have to wait and see, because it wouldn't be the first time that they've penalized him for something that he's admitted to after the fact over on his podcast.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, so, I mean, he went and admitted it there. Then I have a Twitter chain, which I can share in the chat if you guys want, but, yeah, where he flat out said that he was tired of hearing about the restart, but then went and talked to a fan in the chat or in the comment section beneath it, talking about how I jumped the start, and as if like the jumping the start wasn't the whole reason that he got the advantage. And I think he probably could have won that fight if he had gone fair and square, but the restart leaves it all up to question.
I'm going to say they're going to start revealing the restarts now more and more.
Yeah.
After that.
Denny, saying something like that on here.
I will say, though, I honestly hope that it doesn't end up turning into the next ball and strike call that NASCAR has to call. Because, I mean, look at the whole conversation we had earlier about how they were way too quick on the caution for Kyle Busch. And other times they've been way too light on the cautions. Do we really want to put another decision like that into NASCAR's hands?
As much as I hate to say it, NASCAR's going to do it anyway.
You know
NASCAR is going to, like, you're going to say, like, if you jump it by half a millisecond, you have to go to the basket fielder.
I get that one. And it's called a ball and strike call. I don't think we want another ball and strike call for NASCAR to be judges of.
I agree with you.
Well, it'd be different if NASCAR as an organization had built up trust with the fans to make the right call. But at this point, I don't think NASCAR has earned much, if any, trust with the fans to consistently make the right call.
I mean, let's be real quick, Ryan. In what sport does the officials ever have the trust of the fans?
True, but I mean,
MLB, if you think about it, MLB has the most trust in their officials. Other than one person. Other than one ump.
Other than
the ump.
I would beg if I would say basketball, college basketball has the most crust in there.
No. I do actually kind of see that. Year.
Well, that's also college level versus pro level sports, which is definitely a difference. But But especially when it comes to, like, constant controversial calls and not really knowing what a decision is.
FIA.
What?
FIA.
Yeah. I mean, even, like, looking at it, like, I mean, it's the same reason why I don't want the NFL adding more ball-and-strike-type calls for their sport. Because, again, I don't think that their officials over the last year or two have done anything to earn the trust of the fans that, hey, we at least know the core mechanics of what is a catch and what is a roughing the passer to this point to where do you really need other penalties added in that are
and the tackle rule.
Yeah, that
soon it's gonna be like soon it's gonna be you're not gonna be able to touch the receiver at all.
Yep. But yeah, so just wanted to go and make that tangent there a little bit, but going back on track to the restart, but yeah, I mean, as I say, I even showed it to some non-NASCAR fans at my work, and they said that they were able to tell from a slow motion replay that the 11 jumped the restart. So not even seeing it at full speed, they were able to identify that. Yeah, that he went early. So yeah, and again. It was like one of two things that really just kind of ruined the feel of the race. And honestly, it's one of my favorite tracks, so I was really bummed to see it go this way.
Y'all are just hating on my pick from winning. That's what it is. Y'all are a bunch of haters.
Oh, no, trust me. I already mentioned how I can't make a good pick for the life of me.
Lol, Denny wins when I pick him. Let's go.
But
I chose William Byron because William Byron's been on a hot streak.
I knew not to pick Byron.
You realize Byron's going to win the championship in the next 2 years the way he's racing. You hope you don't, right?
Well, wait till you get
to... Yeah, well, that doesn't have anything to do with Richmond, though.
Wait till we get to...
That point, but still.
I you guys with my pick this week.
Oh, I already know my pick for this week.
Let's see. Moving on to the next topic, though. Green flags and black flags from the weekend. JP, you want to start us off?
Oh... Black flag to Denny Hamlin for that jump race car.
Heck yeah. All right. Yeah, what about your green flag for the weekend?
My green flag, bravo to NASCAR about getting this race car in. Back of the rain tires. Great decision. We were only 15 minutes late getting going, like you said in the beginning of the episode. I think that was a good decision on NASCAR, and that was my green flag.
All right. Tino, you want to go with your green flag, black flag from the race?
Yes, sir. Or from the black weekend? Flag.
Hey, Tino, black you're flag. Frozen on my end.
Say what? Oh, yeah, it just happens. Black flag, I'm going to have to say, is going to be NASCAR for not calling back that restart for Denny Hamlin jumping it and really ruining Martin Truex Jr.'s day when he led all those laps. Because the last thing I wanted to see was Jamie win. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking.
Calm no, yourself.
But the green flag is going to be Bubba Pollard for having a great debut in Xfinity Series and just showcasing that maybe NASCAR needs to look at their local tracks to find their next NASCAR superstar. Anybody has an opportunity if they just put forth effort. But good job, Bubba Pollard.
All right. Great
weekend.
Jamie, I know you jumped in a little bit late, but would you like to share your green flag and black flag from the weekend?
Yeah. JP kind of stole mine. My green flag, it goes to the wet weather tires. They were able to use them and didn't look like that they really had any wear on them by the time the 30 lap segment was up. They looked good for short track racing purposes, and I think it's a good setup for NASCAR. I don't think they should go along the lines of letting drivers choose when to put on wet and when not to. I think the current format where they're like, hey, we're going to run wet until this lap, and then we're going to do a mandatory pit stop and then go from there. I do like that. My black flag goes to the 23 team pit crew. With they were on the ball the entire race except for when it mattered the most, and really jacked up Bubba Wallace's potential finish. And had he
cut out there, Jamie. All right, Tyler, green flag and black flag?
My flag in general was just the racing in the cup, and it was actually not terrible. It was actually decent, right? The short track actually performed pretty well here.
I really enjoyed the racing.
My personal black flags to NASCAR in general, not just for the restart, but for the bullshit caution with Kyle Busch and just the bullshit cautions in general.
I mean, that was really the only phantom caution of the night. But, yeah. All right. And then Ben, you've got your black flag, green flag on deck.
Nah, I don't qualify for that. I didn't really watch much or hear much of it. I was working mostly.
All right. Well, I guess that leaves me, and I've got my green flag and black flag. So my green flag for the weekend goes to NASCAR, as we've kind of already mentioned, with the rain tires, being able to get the race going on time. It's probably the best part of this weekend, although I adore the racing at Richmond, even though I know a lot of people disagree with me on that one. Yeah, this is my favorite track on the entire circuit, so... and I will say, going back to a thing that Jamie mentioned a minute ago, with the liking how NASCAR mandates when you put them on and when you take them off. I didn't mind the fact that NASCAR mandated that all the teams start on the wets, but I would have liked it if they kind of left it up to the teams whether or not they were going to throw the mandatory caution still to give them the option. Opportunity to take off the tires after 35 laps, but I feel like it would have been interesting if they left the choice up to the teams whether or not to switch to slicks. That way, if one team thinks, I don't know, that track still looks wet, and they might be able to avoid disaster, or potentially one team gets gutsy enough to go on to slicks earlier than everybody else and makes it work, like Ty Dillon did at the Roval a couple years ago.
Well, I'm sure once they collect more information and actually get more data as to how these tires are going to perform on a more higher level basis, I'm sure probably like a year or two from now they'll make that change. But wet weather tires are still relatively new in the NASCAR front, so that's why I was budgeted that way and just kind of mandated it, because it's taking caution to the wind and limiting risk of something catastrophic happening and ruining what could be a good thing.
Yeah.
I 100% agree with Jamie with that, because if they roll a slick and somebody wrecks hard and gets, even with as safe as these cars are, wrecking hard, you could still get hurt. There's no truly preventing injuries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that's where potentially having it even being up to NASCAR to say, like, okay, yeah, it's too wet right now to allow people to switch. Yeah, would be an interesting thing, but again, it's something that I'm sure we'll see with time. But, yeah, so that's pretty much everything from the green flags, black flags, and I think we got our Martinsville picks, so, instead of going in the same order we've gone in all week, or all night, I've gone and put all our names on a wheel, and we're going to go ahead and spin for the order. That way, yeah, there's no advantage to whoever's been going first all night getting the picks, and no one's at a disadvantage because they showed up later.
So I am on the wheel, right?
Yep.
Cool.
In fact, you're first on the wheel.
Oh, wow.
You get the first overall pick.
With the first overall pick in the Martinsville 2024 race, Jamie selects Ryan Blaney.
All right. Ooh, Ryan Blaney.
That's a solid pick.
Yep. All right.
Numero uno.
Let's see who's gonna get the number two overall pick. Let's see. All right, we're going to go up to the top right over here with Tino.
Kyle Larson. Pick.
All right.
Thank you!
JP was shaking.
Tino,
I knew he
goes and selects Kyle Larson with the with that pick, which leaves four of us left. JP, did you really expect Kyle Larson to stay on the board for more than about 2-3 picks?
I think he was more hoping to be the second or third pick.
Yeah, Tyler, your turn.
Ooh, I'm going to step out of my comfort zone and pick. I am going to go with Ross Chastain.
All right.
Madeline,
remember, you can't Hail Melon it.
He doesn't have the wall ride opportunity this time.
It doesn't mean he's still not that. He's actually been good at Martinsville. He's had all the pitches.
to interject, I am immediately throwing another black flag towards Tyler. You use his formal name. And on this podcast, you refer to him as Melon Man.
Oh, I thought his name on the podcast was Ross the Boss.
Nope, it's Melon Man. Just like how my pick is, how Denny is referred to as the villain and Dennis the Menace.
Yeah.
That's good.
I thought we had Dennis the Menace and Ross the Boss.
I respect that, Jamie. My bad. Melon Man!
Thank you. All right. Now we can continue.
Yeah, now we can continue with the fourth overall pick. JP, have you figured out who you want to pick yet?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
With the number 54 of Mr. Ty Gibbs.
All right, JP's going Ty Gibbs.
I respect that pick, actually, a lot.
It's not who I thought he was going to pick.
JP, you're not allowed to drink any Monster. Just saying.
All right, Ben, with your pick, who you got?
Tyler Reddick.
All right. And for the final pick, we're going to go ahead and spin it. I know there's only one name on the wheel, but we will spin it anyway.
How is it that you...
Oh, shock and surprise, it's me.
How is it that the man controlling the wheel is the last one to pick?
Just goes to show I didn't rig it. And hey, you know what? I didn't even need to rig it because William Byron is still on the board. I will go ahead and take William Byron. No one took him, right? I didn't like miss that.
Nope, you're good. You know what that means?
I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss it, but I was like, I'm pretty sure I memorized everybody's picks. I thought JP was going to take Byron when all the other Hendrick cars were still on the table.
But I was thinking about it. You know what that means to everybody? It means when you're saying your fantasy lineups, do not put William Byron in your lineup because he's going to have the worst race possible because Ryan picked him.
He has a point, Ryan.
Yeah, I was jokingly telling him. I was jokingly saying earlier in the weekend that I was going to start picking I'll just pick Joey Logano each week so that either he has a terrible day or I start having some better points finishes. Win-win for me.
Who knew that the dire curse was sap into real life?
Yeah, who would have guessed? So, those are our picks. We want to go ahead and talk about the Martinsville race weekend a little bit. What do you guys expect from the track?
Are they using the short track package again?
I believe so.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are.
Okay, yeah.
And they use it at Richmond, right?
Yeah, they used it at Richmond.
Yeah, so I'm expecting a lot of passing, a lot of competition. Toyota seems to have a knack for the short track package. So I still see Toyota being my dominant team, but the Fords have been performing a little bit better as of late. And the reason why I chose Ryan Blaney is I think they learned a lot driving around Richmond, not having the greatest day. And they're going to use that to their advantage to bounce back and put on a dominant performance at the paperclip.
I respect that, Jamie, a lot.
I'm curious to see when we get some of our other guys' picks when we go and talk to them later to see if any of the Stuart Haas cars get picked after their pretty good day that they had at Richmond.
Yeah, look at Josh Berry, man. He's just got a knack for Richmond.
He was good in Xfinity. Been good at Xfinity since the game.
Once Haas gets their act together, he's going to be a problem at Richmond for future races to come. That's my bold prediction on Josh Berry as a whole. He's going to be the Richmond monster that no one wants to race against.
Hold on.
You could say the rich man in Richmond.
Hold on.
Hey, let's go with that. Oh, what do you hold on him for, JP? You just got here.
Let's say, yeah, you
JP's
just got
actually
here,
been
JP.
Here.
I'm talking about as far as length of time on getting back to the pod. What do you got against me? You said, hold on. Let's give the floor to JP. What are you saying over there? I'm feeling feisty.
Jamie, be nice. Be nice, Jamie.
Ty Gibbs will not only win the fantasy for me this weekend, he's going to win the overall race.
I think that's what we're all expecting from our drivers when we pick them for the race.
Well, so far, every single person win. So far, for everyone,
very honest,
had to have won in order to win in our little pick system here.
I'm not going for the win. I'm going for Ross Chastain's consistency. That's what I've been.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think I don't think we've had anyone who's actually picked a driver who they thought was just completely incapable of winning, but was going to get a solid finish. I think we've all picked drivers pretty much every week that we could at least justify saying, "Oh yeah, I think this driver's going to win," and not gotten locked up in the loony bin.
Ryan, what's the race after Martinsville?
It's Texas. We got one race in Texas, then we got
Dega. Texas and Dover. Yep, Texas and Dover.
So, Texas, Dega, Dover.
Here's what we should do for Texas. We should flip it. You pull up the odds of the active roster, and you give the top 10 worst odds to win, and we have to pick from the top 10 worst odds. And just see who finishes better.
We'll talk about that one in between weeks and stuff, but
once the playoff hits, we can only pick from between those 16 drivers.
Oh, there we go.
Well, I think we will mostly be picking from those 16 drivers anyway, except for maybe at the road course is where we go, where some of us might go SVG or Allmendinger or some of the other part-timers.
Yeah.
But, So, that's what I'm expecting from Martinsville is kind of just more of the same. I think it's going to be tough to pass. Martinsville's not nearly as wide as Richmond is, and with how flat Martinsville is comparatively to Richmond as well, it is very hard to get a second groove going, unlike how a second groove was there almost all day at the for the Martinsville weekend, or for the Richmond weekend, I mean. So I'm not entirely sold on passing being a consistent factor, but yeah, as a Blaney's track record, he was probably going to be the only Chevy I would have considered for this race. Him and maybe Ryan Preece.
What are you smoking? You just said Chevy for Blaney and Preece.
I said they're the only two Fords I would have picked. Maybe I said Chevy.
You said Chevy.
The only Fords I would have considered would have been those two.
I think it's going to be good racing, and obviously you're going to see a lot of Toyotas up front, but you're going to see those breakaway Hendrick cars, and you're also going to see a couple Penske cars up there.
I just want Chase Elliott to win. Chase Elliott to fucking finally break.
Yeah, I got Chase Elliott.
I've been waiting for a Kyle Busch win for a little while now, too.
There's just three drivers I'm really going to be looking at this week, and that's going to be Chase Elliott, Kyle Larson, and Joey Logano. Because they have success at this track. They really enjoy the grandfather clock. And I'd like to have a grandfather clock myself put right there for everybody to see.
All right, well, I guess you got to win a race at Martinsville.
Yeah, I know. One of these days, maybe.
But,
Cup.
Thomas Cup better send me a clock. It'd be like this big.
I was going to say, be careful what you ask for.
Yeah.
Yeah, trust me. We will find a way to turn it into a joke. But
for sure, man, I think this weekend's going to be a great race, and hopefully they don't have to pull out those rain tires or we get the race on some dry surface.
I will say, I'm looking forward to having all three series back, and one last topic before we go for the week. Wanted to bring up something I saw on Twitter is I saw the rumor floating around that NASCAR may not be racing on Easter next year. Do we think that that means losing a Richmond date? Do we think that that would mean just moving whatever race is on Easter weekend to a night race? Or does Easter become an off week again like it used to be?
I think it's going to be a Saturday race and they're going to push the race up.
Yeah.
All right.
Saturday race and they'll have Sunday off.
All right.
Yeah, I love my Saturday night races. I mean, not gonna lie though, I didn't really mind it being at 7 o'clock because
that means everyone got to enjoy their Easter Sunday, and as they wind down, they get to turn on and watch the NASCAR night racing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm bummed because there's very few true Saturday night races this year. But let me look at the schedule and see where the first Saturday night cup race is.
I don't think we have one.
No, we do have some Saturday cup races.
We had some breaking news in the Xfinity series.
We got Daytona at the end of the regular season. Not the regular season cutoff this year, but the summer Daytona race. And then Bristol night race is on Saturday. And those are your only two Saturday night races on the season.
Yeah. Well, you got the Southern 500, right?
Southern 500's on
that's
Sunday.
Well, there's a Saturday night
holiday
race.
Weekend.
Huh. Yeah, you're right.
It's a holiday
right.
Monday weekend for Labor Day.
Labor Day weekend.
But yep. May I add something, Ryan, about there's some breaking news that we had some for the Xfinity series with Gray Golding being indefinitely suspended. But with the Cup series, there's some breaking news that the executives of rival like companies are saying Stuart Haas is going to be selling some of their charters because of obviously not being able to, you know, afford it and or can't competition competitively not being able to stay up with everybody else. What do you guys think about that, and how many would they sell, in your opinion, if they sold some?
Ubo?
I think they should go back down to two.
Hold on, JP was talking.
Ubo? No.
Okay, so JP thinks two cars.
And if they do sell two cars, the Dale Jr. charter talk is going to be ramping up to an obnoxious volume.
I mean, almost any level at this point is an obnoxious volume for that conversation, considering we've had it like six times already, and it seems to never go anywhere.
Something I've been kind of rumbling about, it's been brewing inside me a little bit. This is coming from someone who is most definitely a Dale Jr. fan, but I feel like it's now, maybe I'm blaming social media for this, but it seems like everywhere I look now, it's Dale Jr.'s opinion on this, Dale Jr.'s opinion on that. NASCAR should do this via Dale Jr. Blah, 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 blah. And it's getting very annoying.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Dale Jr. Download is like a very popular podcast. In my opinion, I think it's the podcast that started all racing podcasts. So I think that when you hear anything, it comes from his mouth because Dale Jr. Download is like one of the best podcasts that came out in NASCAR history because one of the first.
Well, I think I got to put second to the lap down.
Oh, yeah. Second to the lap down, we got the Dale Jr. podcast, you know.
So. Yeah. Second to the lap down.
Yeah, I like his podcast. It's... He pretty much is like, yes, I am that friend that you have that keeps you accountable. I don't sugarcoat anything. He doesn't hide anything, which I like. But now it's gotten to a point where, okay, I don't need to hear Dale Jr.'s opinion about things that are going on in the world of NASCAR that doesn't involve him. Yeah, he may be lobbying for Wilkesboro to be more of a consistent thing. Cool. But then when it comes to like different things that happen in the race, when you're talking about from a production standpoint and then on track racing and things like that, it's almost like he's leveraging his opinion and his popularity to force NASCAR into doing things, and I don't like that.
I mean, honestly, I think he would make a very good potential CEO if NASCAR was looking to bring in a new CEO. I think he'd be a good potential person to put in that role, but until he's officially in that role, it is one of those things where the fans seem to like a lot of his opinion, but yeah, it's definitely gets too loud.
Can I add something? I'm a huge Dale Jr. fan, and the rumors about him going to the Cup, he even said, I've actually seen on his podcast, he says he does not want to go have a Cup team until he feels like it He's ready. He's not. He doesn't want a Cup team. Everybody keeps saying he should, but he said himself he does not want a Cup team right now. He just wants the Xfinity team because he doesn't want to manage a bigger team and put a bigger bigger deficit in his pocketbook.
Well, just to go into, I'll respond to that comment in a second, Tyler, but to finish up what we were just talking about with Dale Jr.'s opinion and things like that, in the words of the great Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, shut your mouth and know your role. But when it comes to that, I do agree. His money is on his Xfinity team, and once I think he wants to let it age a little bit longer, let it become like a almost like a dynasty-esque team in the Xfinity series. I also think that there is a little bit of the fear of if he does go to the Cup, there's going to be a lot of comparisons and a lot of talk about DEI and what he's doing now. And I think that's just a pain point in his life that he does not want to relive. So that's probably why he may never actually go to Cup.
Everybody keeps saying he's going to Cup, but he does not want to. Like,
well, he's talked in the past about wanting to go to Cup. It's all about getting in, though, at the right time and at the right price. And right now, the market for the charters is just way too sky high. And again, depending on what the more recent report is, it sounds like, yeah, he doesn't want a Cup team right now. So I remember back in like that 2020-2021 era, he was heavily in the talks about potentially getting one of those charters.
Mm-hmm.
He might buy one of Stuart Haas's, you never know, and just surprise all of us. But
yeah.
Happy birthday, Dale Jr. Here's a charter to NASCAR.
Hello?
Hello?
You guys there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I just heard someone disconnect and reconnect really quick, so I didn't see who dropped.
That would be me.
Yeah,
all
what
right,
did you say, JP?
I said, happy birthday, Dale Gilner. That's going to be a birthday present for NASCAR, I have a feeling.
The charter?
Well, NASCAR can't gift them a Stuart Haas charter unless they end up... unless Stuart Haas ends up with... a car outside the top 30 or the top 30 in owner's points 3 years in a row or something. And until then, NASCAR can't repossess that charter and just give it away.
Oh, I
thought to mention, I don't even know when Dale Jr.'s birthday even is. Is it today?
No. Yeah, it's a joke.
But, yeah, going back, though, to the whole Stuart Haas and selling their charter thing, though, I feel like this is a really kind of odd time, an odd week for that kind of story to surface, considering it comes on the heels of one of Stuart Haas Racing's best days as a company as a whole. Because I don't remember the last time we saw all four Stuart Haas cars inside the top 10, at least at some point throughout the race. I mean, I remember seeing the 41, the 14, the 10, and the 4 all in the top 10 at different points throughout the race. Obviously, the 4 and 10 both looked a lot faster, but the 14 and the 41 both had their moments as well up there. So I would certainly pump the brakes and wait on the whole talk about, oh, are they going to sell a charter? Because things might be starting to swing their way after only, what are we, 6-7 weeks into the Cup season? The point is that, I mean, they have a very young roster. And, I mean, remember what happened with the, Hendrick Motorsports when they went to an extremely young roster. It takes time for a young roster to solidify itself, especially at a team that has been shaky ever since, really, ever since its beginning, outside of one or two cars a year. So, I would just wait a little bit longer to say for sure whether or not Stuart Haas sells a charter, just because I think they could very well be trending in the right direction.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. And that was actually something that a friend of mine brought up the other day. It's like, oh, is it time to call Stuart Haas Racing a bust? And it's like, I think you picked a really bad week to bring that kind of topic up, because they just had probably their least bust weekend as a company since, like, what was it? The Nashville Super Speedway race 1 year when they got two or three drivers up into the top 10, including two top fives.
Yeah, sure.
You're...
So, but unless any other breaking news is broken while we've been recording this, I think that's everything from Richmond, and looking forward to Martinsville. We've gone and made our picks. We've gone and talked about the racing we expect. Martinsville's a track I think we all know and say it's a track I don't anticipate Aero affecting very much. So I don't think, no matter what Aero package they go with, I don't think it's going to affect much. So
as we wrap up here, I do want to say that I did hear some breaking news come out. When I had Bob Pappas on, he said that the tire test at Sonoma would be taking place late this month for the first for the racing game. He did not give a date. I don't know if Ryan wants to look that date up real quick.
I mean, they probably haven't made it official, but it's just a tire test for a track that we've seen before. I'm not... not something I would be overly interested in.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something I'll hear what happens after it's actually happened, but... say, if it were a tire test at a brand new track, or at a track, like if they were doing another tire test at Bristol to try and figure out what was causing the issue, then I might be a little bit more interested in a random kind of spot tire test. But they tire test all the time.
And I don't know when the tire test is for Irish Speedway here coming up.
Well, and they may
Iowa not... Speedway's going to race. Iowa Speedway's going to race a lot like Richmond.
So they may just tire test at Richmond, which is a NASCAR-owned facility, renting out Iowa to specifically tire test there. Although I'm sure they've gone and taken out... they probably have tire tested there already. But so unless anything else is broken, I think that's everything, so... Thank you guys for everybody that has tuned in to the Lap Down podcast. But that's all from us for this week. So
Thank you to all our sponsors.
Yep.
You got to run down. I don't have the link in front of me.
Yeah. So no, guys. Thanks to our sponsors: Century PC, Fanatics, Duke Cannon, Bulletproof Coffee, W Energy, Sleafs, and the Alkali Project. For helping allow us to be able to put this whole show together. But
yep, and I got one more thing. For those who don't know, my daughter, she has juvenile idiopathic arthritis. If me and my family, we are doing a walk to cure arthritis at the end of the next month. And there will be a link attached to this if you want to leave a donation towards our walk for that. I would greatly appreciate that. It's definitely something that I don't feel like is talked about enough. But it's crazy to think that kids can get arthritis as well.
You can have arthritis, and I'm 24.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, if you guys want to check that out, that will be the top link in the description, will be the link for that. So, thanks, Jamie, for reminding me of that, because I actually forgot we had that link down there as well this week. So, Yep, that'll be all from us, though, here at the Lapdown Podcast for myself, JP, Tino, Jamie, Tyler, and Ben. This has been the Lapdown Podcast, and we will see you guys next week after Martinsville as we get ready for Texas. So we will see you guys all there.
Bye.
Deuces. Deuces. Yep.